Welcome to Across the Desk, where we discuss entrepreneurship, small business, and everything in between. Hey, it's Elizabeth Plouffe, and welcome to Across the Desk. Today is Wise Words, and Wise Words is I have a bit of a book issue and a bit of a personal development issue. And what I mean by that is I read like a crazy person, and I really hate wasting time on books that suck. So I'm quite militant. If I start getting into a book and it's really atrocious and it's not going to take me anywhere, generally I flip to the end and see if it's worthwhile, and then I drop it. So the only ones I talk about are the ones that I've gotten through and that I've gotten something out of and that I feel are worthwhile for you to go and check out. And so last year, two friends of mine went through the John C. Maxwell training for leadership development and coaching. And I've sort of, you know, gone back and forth with John C. Maxwell. And part of it is, you know, I guess it's an inherent skepticism that somebody can truly be that positive and truly be that giving, which is awful of me, but, you know, it is what it is. And so I've read a couple of his things. But this particular book I've really loved, and I according to my coach, I took it a little too far. Well, you know, it is what it is. But it's the John C. Maxwell, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. Live them and reach your potential. Now, that's a little fluffy for me, but got to tell you, what I ended up doing, I use something called a passion planner, and it's a horrible name for something that's not very fluffy. It's really good for your business. Journaling and tracking and writing has been shown to increase your success by a huge percentage. So this is my second year of using one for my business. And it's also my second time of using my passion planner for a course. And last year, I used a couple of different books. I used Carrie Green's book, She Means Business. And what was the other one? I don't have my passion planner in front of me, but it was really good. And this year I chose to do the John C. Maxwell, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. So I dedicated the back half of my planner, which is set up so that it has blank pages and things like that, and went through chapter by chapter, because what I love about this book, one of the things is it's got exercises for you to do to apply to what you've just learned. I learn better that way. As an instructor, I taught medical office administration for 2 years. And I had to fit anatomy, physiology, pharmacology, accounting, office management, all of that, which is normally taken in a 2-year program, into, you know, 8-9 months, which, you know, technically you can cook a human being in that time. So it's conceivable. But people learn differently. The best way for you to absorb information depends on your learning style. I'm a kinesthetic learner, which means I learn better by doing than by just reading or just hearing. If I then have an activity right after that, I'm more likely to take the information on board and do a lot with it. I did that. I just recently completed Jen Sincero's You're a Badass at Making Money and the exercises that she had in there. It gives a lot to me. So if you're looking to launch into some personal development in some of these books, you don't have to do that. You know, read the book. That's right there is a huge step towards achieving goals and you know, being a better person, in air quotes that you can't see. But if you're like me and you're a little OCD about learning, get a good notebook. If you're listening in Canada, Dollarama has some terrific notebooks that are hardbacked. They're an art notebook. Really neat covers, like Van Gogh type paintings. But the paper's a nice quality. You can, you know, if you're like me and you like to sketch note and you like to get a little artsy fartsy with your notes, it's a good thing to do, but dedicate that notebook, dedicate some time. I used to dedicate Saturday or Sunday mornings before everybody got up, put a couple hours in, call it a day. And it's part of my ongoing business plan. I will always be in a position where I am looking for opportunities for education or personal development, and I will always make time for that. You have to. If you don't continue to learn and grow and take on new information and take advantage of what people are willing to share, you will stagnate. It just is the law of the land. John C. Maxwell is a very prolific sharer, and he's been going around, his history, I'm trying to just have a look at his history here, but I mean, he's been doing this for easily 40 years. And he's written more than 100 books. Damn, like that's hardcore. I've written 11 chapters of my book. I can't imagine doing that 100 more times. But he's really open about the fact that he has some personal characteristics that can get in the way. And so he has team members that help him deal with those. We're a lot alike in that we're very optimistic about timelines and we're very optimistic about our ability to get things done. And we sometimes underestimate the amount of effort and time required. And so, you know, he's got a team that keeps him on track. I've got me and a buttload of stickies that I use in books to keep me organized. And I highly recommend it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a quick flip through and I'll give you an overview of some of the chapters and things that he talks about. So he talks about the law of intentionality, the law of awareness, the law of the mirror. You must see value in yourself to add value to yourself. The law of reflection, a law of consistency. Motivation gets you going. Discipline keeps you growing. The law of environment, law of design, the law of pain, the law of the ladder. I'm going to flip the page. The law of the rubber band, the law of trade-offs, the law of curiosity, the law of modeling, the law of expansion. And the last one is the law of contribution. Growing yourself enables you to grow others. And that's huge for me. A couple of years ago, I had a huge breakthrough as far as, you know, it could be midlife crisis, could be breakthrough. You can go either way. And realized that what I need to do in my life consistently is teach somehow or another. That's why I started this podcast, because I read a lot. I attend a lot of events. I do a lot of learning opportunities. And it's an opportunity for me to not only share that person's expertise, but to then put my twist on it and what I've learned and maybe how you can apply it to your business. So that's what I do. And he's just got some terrific tidbits in here. And for an example, if you go to, we'll start at the, see, flickety flick flick. I'm telling you, I do read these books. So the law of intentionality, let me get to the end here. Applying the law of intentionality to your life. So at the end of every chapter is these little nuggets. And it says, which of the gaps discussed in the chapter have caused you to neglect growing the way perhaps you could have? So there's the assumptive gap. I assume that I will automatically grow. That's not the case, by the way. The knowledge gap, the timing gap, mistake gap, perfection gap, inspiration gap, comparison gap, and expectation gap. And he really helps you identify the things that could be holding you back in your development and how you can change that so that you can move forward in your business or your career or whatever it is you want to progress in. And he also has, the only criticism I would really have of this book is it's very male focused in that the quotes and stories that he uses to illustrate his point predominantly feature men. There's very few women, and that kind of bugs me a little bit. So here we go. Oh, the farther you go in life, the more critical it is that you take time to pause and think. This is in the law of the reflection chapter. The older you are, the less time you have to stay on purpose and do the things you were created to do. But here's the good news. If you've been diligent in your efforts to grow along the way, you will also be better equipped to fulfill that purpose, even if it requires you to make significant changes or course corrections. Many years ago, my friend Bob Buford wrote a book called The Second Half. It's fantastic. The entire book is a pause so that growth can catch up with you experience, which is very cool. In it, he encourages readers who've experienced some success in the first half of their lives to stop and think about what they want to do in the second half. Here is some of the advice he gives. You will not get very far in your second half without knowing your life mission. Can yours be stated in a sentence or two? A good way to begin formulating one is with some questions and nakedly honest answers. What's your passion? That one I'm a little dodgy about. What have you achieved? What have you done uncommonly well? How are you wired? Most important. Where do you belong? What are these shoulds that have trailed you during the first half? And I'm telling you, we should all over ourselves. This is me, not the book talking. And it drives me banana pants. These and other questions like them will direct you towards the self. Sorry, I got to flip the page. Your heart longs for. They will help you discover the tasks for which you were especially made. Never forget that your goal in personal growth is reaching your potential. To do that, you need to keep pausing, keep asking questions, and keep growing every day. This is so completely true. And my passion planner has been one thing, But I wouldn't have a passion planner if I wasn't interested in tracking my development and engaging in these types of exercises. And to me, like, it's critical. It's as critical as breathing that these types of things have to take place. One that I did, that was one of the ones I did before I got my passion planner, was Michael Gerber wrote The E-Myth. And I did The E-Myth Revisited, I believe, which is an extended version. And it's an excellent book. It gives you a lot of things to work on and a lot of things to work through that you might not have already considered. And they are business focused. For me, it was a bit of a challenge because the stories that he used involved a particular industry and a particular situation. And I found it hard to extrapolate some of the information and apply it to what I was trying to do. But if you are currently an employee and you're trying to get into the entrepreneur mindset and what that might involve, then The E-Myth is definitely a book that you should consider. And so he talks here in The Law of Design. What is a system? It's a process for predictably achieving a goal based on specific, orderly, repeatable principles and practices. Systems leverage your time, money, and abilities. They are great tools for personal growth. Systems are deliberate, intentional, and practical. They really work, regardless of your profession, talent level, or experience. They improve your performance. A life without any systems is a life where the person must face every task and challenge from scratch. Which is so completely true, because you will keep running into things, and if you haven't developed a system to deal with them, they're just going to keep showing up, because you've never put anything in place to deal with what's holding you back. I put stickies everywhere, and then I mark some, and then it says read, and then I remember, because at the end I'm so overwhelmed by the amount of information I've got out of certain books that I forget what to share with you. So, under the law of trade-offs, here we go. Will I go through this change or grow through this change? Good trade-offs are not something to be endured. That reflects a passive attitude and a mindset that says, I hope this turns out all right. Instead, positive trade-offs should be seen as opportunities for growth and seized. After all, we become better as a result of them. When we go through change, we become active. We take control of our attitude and emotions. We become positive change agents in our own lives. Author Denis Waitley said, a sign of wisdom and maturity is when you come to terms with the realization that your decisions cause your rewards and consequences. You are responsible for your life. And your ultimate success depends on the choices you make. I agree with that, and years ago, I determined that while others may lead timid lives, I would not. While others might see themselves as victims, I would not. While others leave their future in someone else's hands, I will not. While others simply go through life, I will grow through it. That is my choice, and I will surrender it to no one. I love that. So, I don't know if you're an employee or an entrepreneur listening, but I have to tell you, as an employee, I allowed my career to happen to me, not necessarily me going out and practically designing it and picking a goal. I can't even begin to tell you why that was the situation. But having said that, the only deliberate choice I made around my career was when I investigated the medical office program through Sheridan. I took that back in the early 90s. And that was after a failed run at doing travel and tourism. And travel and tourism, I fell into. I don't even remember how I got into that program, other than I received a call or something one day from Seneca to say thank you for applying, which I hadn't done. And I ended up taking the travel and tourism course and trying to work in the airport for 3 months. Disaster for me. Then I stepped back and I thought about what I had always wanted to do and what fascinated me. And I have always been fascinated by medicine. I wanted to be an obstetrician like crazy. And just a series of circumstances, didn't end up doing well in high school. And so wasn't able to take advantage of that. And I worked in healthcare for over 10 years and then taught the program for 2 years. And that included also, so 15 years in total, I would say, in medicine. Because of the 2-year full-time program for medical office administration is a very intense program. It's extremely good. It's quite intense. And I loved it. And that was, I went and interviewed the instructor. I went and checked out job opportunities as much as I could at the time. It was 1994, so the internet was a bit dodgy. And I really made a concerted effort to choose that career. And when it ran its course, I was disappointed because it was the first time I had really, you know, chosen something. But it provided me an excellent foundation. And then my career happened to me for a little bit. I didn't know what to do, and I kind of drifted and ended up in a variety of jobs, and some were excellent and some were not. And then I made another choice. I went and got some more education. I went and attended a Career Explorations Express program through the Center for Skills and Development. I live in Burlington, but you know they're across the Golden Horseshoe, I believe. And I took the time to really evaluate my skills and abilities and my interests, not so much my passions, because that is a little too fluffy for me, but, and somebody said to me, you should become a writer. You're a really good writer. You have great skills. This was the instructor. She actually included something that I wrote in her program going forward. And so I took that to heart and I did some more investigation, and I ended up applying to the corporate communications program at Sheridan, which was a postgraduate certification. And at the time when I initially applied, there is a point to this, I promise, I had to make a choice. I had to choose to either accept a job offer from Girl Guides of Canada, or I had to choose to go to school. My husband also got the opportunity to continue his apprenticeship. He's now a millwright and almost a full electrician. And so one of us had to have a full-time income. So I put my education goals on the back burner and worked for Girl Guides of Canada for 4.5 years. One of the best jobs I've ever had. Amazing organization that I love and miss every day, because I was a Girl Guide leader on top of that for 10 years. And it was incredibly fulfilling. And then when he was done and he had gotten his trade paperwork, I went back to school. I went in and interviewed Andy, who was my program director, checked out the job opportunities, different things that were going to be there. And I chose that program, didn't work full time for an entire year to do this program, and worked in the industry for 1.5 years, and then started my business. And I've been intentional ever since. And part of that has been driven by the fact that there's been positive and negative experiences as an employee, and I never want to be in a situation where I don't have the education or the expertise to make my own money, which also drives my continued passion for reading and personal development. And part of it is I'm not a massive fan of working for other people anymore, period. You know, it just, and I need to be very structured as an entrepreneur, which is one of the reasons that I'm diversifying and I have a tech startup now. Is that I see the big picture for that kind of development. And part of that is because I always strive for personal development and education. And I'm on a bit of a soapbox here, but I can't tell you how important it is to continue with that. And you know, even if it's, and I don't say just as in a dismissive way, but even if you're just reading books, see the value in that. Make that a part of your learning. And I had somebody say to me once, you know, well, what's, reading almost got called a waste of time, which to me is a sin right there. But anyway, and I said, no, when you don't spend the time in learning and personal development, that's where you're wasting time. That's where you're wasting opportunity. There's so much you could be doing. So anyway, this particular book, I continued on. One of the last chapters is The Law of Modeling, which I just love. And I've been really fortunate to meet people who have inadvertently become mentors. I have a coach, Holly Simmons, who is thegoldenlasso.com, and Holly is a terrific coach. And it's been a terrific experience. And I keep using terrific, which is awful, but I'm so glad I did it. I've had bad coaches, and I've now had really good coaches, and I'm thrilled with the experience and highly recommend it. Mentors. I'm currently involved in the Halton Small Business Center's summer company program to help people. I think it's 18 to 29, might be a little high on the age there, being a business mentor for them and, you know, helping them refine their offering and their value proposition. I'm going to be doing some pitch prep with them this Friday. And I love it. I love being in that mentor role. I love teaching and sharing and helping them avoid some of the pitfalls and learn from what I've learned. And the thing it says here is, the process of growing with the help of a mentor usually follows this pattern. It begins with awareness. you realize that you need help and that following yourself is not a viable option for effective personal growth. I was fortunate to come to this realization early in my career. I recognized that I had no experience, no exposure, and no strong models within my circle to help me develop my potential. When a person comes to such a realization, one of two things can happen. The first is that the person's pride swells up and he cannot bring himself to ask another person for advice. This is a common reaction. In his book, The Corporate Steeplechase, psychologist Shirley Blotnick says that people in their 20s starting their careers tend to be ashamed to ask questions. When they reach their 30s, their desire to be individualistic makes it difficult for them to seek counsel from colleagues. That can definitely work against them. Sorry, I have a sticky over top of it. To keep from looking ignorant, they almost ensure their own ignorance. The other reaction to awareness is to humble yourself and say, "I need your help." That decision not only leads to greater knowledge, but it also often develops maturity. It reinforces that people need one another, not just when they're young and starting out, but their entire lives. As Chuck Swindoll so eloquently says in his book, The Finishing Touch, nobody is a whole chain. Each one is a link. But take away one link and the chain is broken. Nobody is a whole team. Each one is a player. But take away one player and the game is forfeited. Nobody is a whole orchestra. Each one is a musician. But take away one musician and the symphony is incomplete. You guessed it. We need each other. You need someone and someone needs you. Isolated islands, we're not. To make this thing called life work, we gotta lean and support and relate and respond and give and take and confess and forgive and reach out and embrace and release and rely. Since none of us is a whole, independent, self-sufficient, super capable, all-powerful hotshot, let's quit acting like we are. Life's lonely enough without our playing that silly role. The game's over. Let's link up. And that is so huge. And using books as mentors, using online programs as mentors, all of those things is just an incredible thing to do for you and for your business. This is one of my longer wise words, but this book is just such a fantastic resource. And it ends with the law of contribution. And the law of contribution is who's giving to you and how can you give back? How can you pay it forward? How can you share your expertise so that others can benefit? And Jim Rohn, who I haven't taken any of his works, but I've seen him through Success Magazine and the John C. Maxwell Company. The greatest gift you can give to someone is your own personal development. So again, whether you are in an employee role, an employer role, you're an entrepreneur, you're a manager, you know, you're some type of leader, you're involved in a mentoring relationship, engaging in personal development through workshops, through books, through making the maximum of learning opportunities that are available to you, it's just thumbs up across the board. You're never going to lose when you do that. So thank you very much for joining me today. Again, the book I've been discussing is John C. Maxwell's The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. I highly recommend not only that you take the opportunity to check the book out, but that you make a learning plan around it. You know, get a notebook that makes you happy, whatever tool makes you happy. Do the exercises, put the work in, and I guarantee you, you will get something out of it. So thank you very much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time. And my next book on wise words is going to be Jim Collins' Good to Great, which is a fantastic book, Why Some Companies Make the Leap and Others Don't. And it's a research-based book on becoming a level 5 leader and how that affects a company's growth and how ego and bullshit can destroy a company. It's really good. And that's it for today. I hope you're having a fantastic day. If you've got a book that you'd like me to read and review, thank you for listening to Across the Desk. Comments.
You can follow me on Twitter.
If there's something you've read recently that you think is worth sharing,
Instagram
I'd love
at MCB Communications,
my stack is MCBCommunications.ca
to see where else I'm hiding out.
I hope you're having a fantastic day, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.